Hello, hello, superhero fans, and welcome to Vigilante Vibes, a Marvel podcast where we break down, digest, and spill the tea on all things Marvel, MCU, and nerd culture. I'm your host, Max Taff, and I'm joined by the Sue Storm to my Johnny Storm, Megan Nicole.
As Gandalf said, this is the way, Harry.
Today's episode is a jam-packed one. Luckily, we have a guest with us to help us cover it all. Please welcome senior writer from The Direct and resident Deadpool expert, Richard Nebbins.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is, I've been looking forward to coming on with you guys. I've been such a huge fan of you guys ever since I joined our Facebook group about a year ago. And I mean, for anybody who knows me, knows I'm the biggest Deadpool fan on the planet. So I've been waiting for this trailer ad, and I'm going to be talking about it literally all week.
Well, that's awesome. I'm so excited to hear your thoughts.
Yes. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself so our listeners know you?
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know me, I'm sure that's a lot. I am the senior writer and assistant editor at thedirect.com. We're a fairly big news outlet. You know, we cover mostly Marvel, DC, and Star Wars is where we got our start, and now we're kind of covering a whole lot, a bit of everything, more or less. I write a ton there. I'm trying to stay busy as much as I can. I write probably at least an article a day. I try to. And yeah, I'm a huge Marvel fan, DC fan, Star Wars fan. I just love movies and TV shows and everything. I got really, really lucky that I kind of fell into a job as an entertainment journalist, which I never thought I'd be doing, but I'm here and I love it and I don't want to go anywhere else.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. I love that.
Me too.
That's so exciting. Well, we're so happy to have you on with us. That we were looking forward to this for a long time, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is one I've been looking forward to getting on with you guys.
Oh, awesome. We're so happy to have you. And yeah, we've got a really meaty episode. And I'm really, like I said before, I'm really excited to hear your thoughts specifically on Deadpool and the trailer and to hear what you thought about everything. So let's dive into our trailer breakdown really quickly. So kicking it off, Super Bowl Sunday, we were all so excited. It was that first commercial break. So if you were only in it for the commercials, that was just the present for you on Super Bowl Sunday right off the bat. And it starts with Wade's birthday. And according to the photo on the cake, he's still hanging out with the same group of people we've seen in previous Deadpool movies. Blind Al, Buck, Colossus, Peter, Shatterstar, who I thought was dead, Vanessa, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Yukio, and Dopinder, the amazing taxi driver. To be clear, at the end of Deadpool 2, Wade is given a repaired time travel device. It previously belonged to time-traveling mutant Cable, which he uses to go on his own mini-multiversal adventure. Along the way, he saves Vanessa and Peter from death and kills the alternate version of himself from 2009's maligned X-Men Origins Wolverine movie. It's not a stretch, then, to believe Wade also rescued Shatterstar from being bumped off too, we assume.
Although he did say, I don't think anybody's going to miss Shatterstar. He was a bit of a prick. In the movie after he died. So that's the only shocker, I think, with saving Shatterstar. But I guess he's fair to everybody.
Yeah, I'd say so. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I was surprised, but I was kind of delighted to see Shatterstar. I wasn't mad at it.
Me too.
So Wade's multiverse-spanning hijinks, though, have come back to haunt him as he makes a wish while blowing out the single candle on his birthday cake. Then there's a knock at the door. And who does it turn out to be? None other than the Time Variance Authority, who appeared in Loki Seasons 1 and 2 on Disney+. Unfortunately for Wade, it isn't Owen Wilson's Mobius, I guess, unfortunately to all of us, because we all would have loved that, who greets him.
Yep.
But a bunch of less than enthused TVA soldiers who kidnap him and take him back to their headquarters. This is when Wade drops the iconic, pegging isn't new for me, friendo, but it is for Disney line that I loved so much in the trailer.
The fact that pegging is now MCU canon is quite the reveal, but I am not even shocked considering it's
the fact that pegging is trending on all social media platforms.
How many parents have to explain to their kids to watch this trailer?
Too many.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I can't say that I'm surprised to see it in a Deadpool trailer. It still caught me off guard, though. I don't know. I wasn't really expecting it, but I'm not mad at it either. That was a good one, for sure.
Same.
I didn't expect it in the trailer at the Super Bowl.
Right?
I know.
You know, I thought online. they would release it online mm-hmm. and say it. But at the Super Bowl, when families are watching with their kids and they're like, what's pegging?
Oh, man. That's
there's that.
Mommy, what's pegging? Some interesting conversations, yeah. I'm sure.
Come back to me in 15 years.
Yeah. God. Oh, man.
Don't come back to me in 15 years. I'm not telling my kids.
Don't ever come back to me. Don't ever mention this again.
Just put that on the no-no questions.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Too much. Too much. But in the next clip, we meet a new TVA agent played by Succession's Matthew McFadyen, who appears to hold a similar rank to Mobius. Turns out his name is Paradox. You can see his name if you use the subtitles on the YouTube version of the trailer. It does specify his name on there. And I don't know how I feel about Paradox because I'm a Mobius loyalist. So, not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like from all the rumors, there was a bunch of rumors that Mobius was going to be in this movie. So I don't know if I'm expecting him to show up or not, but I would love it. I think Owen Wilson and Ryan Reynolds together would be a match made in heaven for this kind of movie.
Oh, man.
Well, if it's a time travel movie, I could see it if they go back to the TVA or forward to the TVA.
Right.
Because the rumors came because he was supposedly seen on set.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So that's where it came from. And I'm expecting him because Miss Minutes is confirmed.
Yeah, I think she's like 99% confirmed. I think actually
she said it.
I think my friends at Agents of Fandom might have had that quote as an exclusive potential. Oh. And shout out those guys, some of my favorite people on the planet.
That's amazing.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, they're some of my favorites.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and Miss Minutes put it, if you haven't seen Miss Minutes Twitter this week, that woman overtime. Clock, that bitch is busy.
Jeez.
Overtime.
Man.
Oh,
overtime.
Man.
Good.
I hope that she gets to go fully unleashed in
I do too.
Because I think that's just the perfect avenue for her. Because we know she can after, I mean, giving us the biggest jump scare moment in MCU history at the end of Loki season one.
Oh my God, I live for Miss Minutes jump scares. Honestly, I just need like Tara Strong in the Miss Minutes voice to explain to the audience what pegging is. That's just what I need from Deadpool 3. That would just make the movie for me. 5 stars just for that.
Oh, wow.
But man, I love Miss Minutes. She's one of my absolute favorite characters from Loki season 1 and 2. The fact that she's going to be in Deadpool interacting with Deadpool possibly, like that just gives me just butterflies. I can't. I'm so excited for this. You have no idea.
I want to see Deadpool kick her like a football.
Just punt Miss Minutes.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that's my headcanon of what's going to happen. I don't know what it came to my head. This is what's going to happen now. Right, someone call Ryan because they need to start fixing something.
Oh man, I'm telling you. And just like the perfect Super Bowl meta joke, just kicking Miss Minutes across the football field. I'd be so into it. Yes.
They should have done it. I mean, like, call me Marvel. I'll help you. I won't tell anyone. God.
Exactly. But in a blink and you'll miss it moment when Paradox tells Wade he has the chance to be a quote-unquote hero among heroes, you can catch brief glimpses of Iron Man, the Avengers, and Thor on some of the TVA monitors in the room. The footage is taken from 2008's Iron Man, 2014's Avengers Age of Ultron, and 2017's Thor Ragnarok, for those who were wondering. The next shot shows other members of the Avengers too, including different clips of Captain America from 2014's The Winter Soldier. You can see Deadpool salute Captain America, which is a callback to the comics because Cap was the only hero Deadpool actually respects. So that was really cool. I love that. Two brief scenes show Wolverine from behind at a poker table. I'll get to more details on that when we get to our Easter egg breakdown. But the other scene is the back of someone's head, which we have a theory on who it is a tad bit later. I'm really excited for all the potential stuff that they're hinting at here. Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next scene is Wade calling himself the Messiah, the Marvel Jesus. Then we see him suit up as Deadpool. We see him fight. Guns blazing in a snowy forest. It wouldn't be a Deadpool film without fourth wall breaking antics and hilarious metatextual comedy. And it seems this movie is going to rip 20th Century Fox's defunct X-Men universe to shreds, which I cannot wait for. I'm so excited.
Deadpool kills the Fox universe.
That's 100% that's happening. That's what it is.
Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense for them to do this. Like when you take Deadpool 2's ending and you take Deadpool as a character and you just like combine it with the multiverse, it's just chef's kiss. Like just so, so delicious. I can't.
Yeah.
And we've had Deadpool fix continuity issues in movies before, so why wouldn't he do it again?
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, Deadpool killed Ryan Reynolds over the Green Lantern script. I mean,
yes.
That is canon in the Marvel universe, and it's going to be MCU canon here soon. And no, this is the perfect avenue for Deadpool to enter the MCU, you know, either killing off all the old Fox characters or maybe recruiting some of them for something. I'm so excited to see like what he does to all these different characters. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but the cameos that are going to be in this movie,
oh man,
I think it's going to blow the roof off anything we've ever seen.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. It's going to be something insane.
Yeah, no. Marvel was like, you guys want cameos? We're going to give you some cameos in this one, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like we said on the last episode, something big's going to happen, and you can kind of feel it happening right now. So I don't know what it is, but I'm nervous and excited.
I know,
yeah.
Me too. I'm ready for it, though. I'm ready for it. I can't believe it's finally almost here. Like, this movie has always felt like so far into the horizon. Like, we've been waiting for Deadpool 3 for so long, and now it's like, oh my god, it's only a few months away. Like, I can't, I just, like, I'm so excited. It's gonna be epic.
I remember I wrote up the news on Hugh Jackman officially joining. I think that was September of 22, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, this movie has been literally, like, 2 or 3 years coming, and for somebody who loves Deadpool as much as we do, and especially as much as I do, I mean, this year is going to be bonkers.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah. For sure.
It's going to be something that changes everything in the MCU, which is why I think it was you, Max, that said it, that that's why there really isn't much after it for this year. So
yeah, this is the only MCU movie this year. I mean, there's Sony, but, you know, we don't have to go into Sony very much.
I know, right? yeah it's I think, like I said last step, I think it was last episode or the episode before, I was telling Megan that I think that this is a sign that, you know, with all of the reshaping that Marvel seems to be doing right now, like, you know, they've pushed a lot of projects. This is the sole movie of 2024 from Marvel Studios. I just think that this one is gonna be like a huge universe cracker. Like, they're gonna use this to reshape and remold, and it's the perfect catalyst and the perfect vehicle to do that. So I'm really excited to see how Wade Wilson saves and literally becomes the Marvel Messiah in this movie. I'm so excited.
I think Deadpool's on his way to becoming arguably one of the most important characters in the whole MCU, and I think he's so perfectly suited for that. I can't wait to see how they do it.
You know, same.
And they picked the perfect person because Ryan is so... he's such a stickler for comic accuracy or doing the characters justice. So it's just a perfect.
I mean, he's been hardcore on the Deadpool bandwagon for like 20 years or something. I think that's when they, I think that's when they first did that whole Ryan Reynolds looks like a burnt Sharpay thing.
Oh my God.
No, that's literally how Ryan Reynolds wanted to become Deadpool in the first place, is because they name dropped him in a comic and he's like, okay, I have to play Deadpool now. It's happening.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah, then he definitely did not leak that Deadpool video.
Definitely wasn't him.
No, honestly, I will say, like, we are so lucky to have Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool coming into the MCU, and just such an incredible actor like Ryan, who genuinely seems to really care and put the time into the details of this character and the nuances of his performance playing it. I'm so happy that he's here and he's reprising his role, and I'm just so grateful that Kevin Feige was like, yes, we need to fold this into the MCU. Like, it's just, it's just like the best fan buffet of goodies that we could have ever asked for, truthfully.
Word for a good one.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. But back to the trailer. At the 1 minute and 38 mark, we do catch Deadpool reloading his dual pistols in a ridiculously cool fashion. I've been seeing this all over the internet. Everyone's obsessed with this little snippet. But he does so with a destroyed version of the 20th Century Fox's iconic logo nestled in the background of a barren landscape many assume to be the Void from Loki. It appears that Marvel isn't going to hold back on poking fun at Fox's former cinematic universe. And I, for one, am all here for it. I love that.
I would really like it if, for Deadpool, the Marvel banner at the beginning, the Marvel Studios one, if instead of it showing Marvel characters, I want it to be the Fox characters and the Marvel characters just beating the brakes off each other.
Yes.
That'd be great.
But like in the same fashion as they have when they show the Marvel banner, just no one says a word. That's just what it is. That's what I want so bad.
Either that or all of it is Deadpool. Like the way they did with the way they did with the Marvels and like all of them, all of their characters are the only ones that showed up in the Marvel logo and everything. And the way they did with like the old Stan Lee tribute one at the beginning of Captain Marvel. I think doing that all with Deadpool, I feel like that's the perfect avenue for that.
Yeah.
I think they did it with Wakanda Forever too, with for Chadwick Boseman.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I think they might have. I know they redid one for Black Panther on Disney Plus with him him in it. And I remember writing on that, which was awesome. I love that they did that.
Me too. Such a nice tribute.
Yeah.
It was. And it was when they did in the theater, it was just dead silent. Like no one said a word because there's no music playing during it either. Mm-hmm. So it was really well done.
Totally. And speaking of music, real quick before we go on, I've been watching X-Men 97 or X-Men the Animated Original Series for the first time the last couple of days. How often do you think we will get the X-Men Animated Series theme music in Deadpool 3? Because I feel like that's just like completely inevitable at this point, considering we heard it in Doctor Strange 2 and Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
I would really, really like it if it played in the background every time we got a Wolverine variant.
That'd be great.
Oh my God.
Every time.
Yeah.
Because I'm expecting Daniel Radcliffe as Patch.
Yeah.
I'm 100% sure. If it's wrong, you didn't hear it from me.
Yeah. Either Daniel Radcliffe or Taron Egerton. One of those two.
I think Taron Egerton will be someone else that I think he'll probably be in the tan suit.
Mm, that'd be cool.
Something that shows muscles because he's pretty built. And
Daniel Radcliffe,
he's more built than Daniel.
Yeah. Although Daniel is surprisingly ripped for a tiny little dude.
He is.
Like, I mean, good for
him. But Taron can put on weight like no one's business to bulk up.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I think they're going to get Daniel Radcliffe to be Patch. If you guys don't know who Patch is, it's when you watch the trailer, it's when you see Wolverine from behind and he's wearing a white suit.
In the casino, yeah.
I'll get into that when we get into the Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Yes. But moving on, it looks like the TVA isn't the only Loki Season 2 callback in Deadpool and Wolverine. Indeed, Eliath, the trash temporal entity we saw in both seasons of Loki, will also show up to cause mischief, so I'm excited to see how that fits in. And at the 1 minute and 44 mark, we see a handcuffed TVA agent plead for his life before a purple cloud of smoke forebodingly carries him off into the air as Deadpool, complete with an expletive-laden comment, watches on. It seems the pair and other characters in the shot are stuck in the void, a place at the end of time that multiverse rejects are sent to and devoured by Eliath. If this is the location where Deadpool and company end up, Eliath is sure to make a cameo and I don't know. There's a lot of Loki Season 2 loose ends that could be tied up here as well. I mean, we know that Judge Renslayer, Gugu Mbatha-Raw's character, is currently in the void as far as we know. That's where she was left at the end of Season 2 of Loki. So I'm excited to see if she might appear in some way. So that's interesting. I don't know. We'll see.
I forgot she was there. That's a good shout.
Yeah, that is a big loose thread that we need to figure
it
out.
It was a big one.
I'm curious to see how many actual Loki characters we get. I mean, we talked about the Owen Wilson rumors before. Gugu Mbatha-Raw, obviously. I mean, I'm not expecting we get Tom Hiddleston as Loki at all, especially considering he's, you know, busy being the connecting thread to the entire multiverse right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be cool to see it just for a second, even if he does show up.
I could see a variant.
I think we'll get a... Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Totally. A Loki variant, like Alligator Loki.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
But President Loki. I could see President Loki showing up.
Yeah.
That'd be easy.
I'm really curious if they're going to use this as a way to give us an answer as to if they're going to continue with Kang.
No, that's a really big question. I mean, I remember somebody pointed out an Easter egg at one point that there was somebody who maybe looked like Victor Timely.
I saw that.
Yeah, when Wade's
walking down the hall. I'm not expecting that that's him, but I mean, it's going to have to be, it's a big question that's got to be answered at some point because either they're going to recast him or, you know, or go a different route completely. Maybe more of a Doomish route, but we'll see.
It's a good point you make, Richard, because honestly, like, since they're kind of like clearing the slate for this year and using this film as my own theory, kind of like the new catalyst as to where the MCU will be heading in the future, it would be such an easy place. I mean, the filming just ended like, what, a month ago? They could easily have figured out who they're going to recast as Kang and introduce him in this movie, and Deadpool could be like, oh, you look a little different. Like, I could totally see that happening. So you never know. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. All right. So 30 seconds shy of the trailer's end, we see the return of an unexpected X-Men character in the form of Pyro. The trailer's closed captions feature gives this reveal away again. The fire-wielding mutant who showed up in X2, X-Men United, and X-Men The Last Stand is seen saying, God, I love this part, at 1:52 mark. Oh, and he's being played by Aaron Stanford, the same actor who portrayed Pyro in the aforementioned films. So that's really exciting. I love that.
I do too.
Yeah.
That really got me excited.
And shout out to our guy at the director who actually interviewed him for something else, like, I want to say a month ago, and asked him about potentially coming back as Pyro at some point. And he's like, you know, it'd be cool to see at some point. You know, we'll see. Maybe I'll do it. And, you know, meanwhile, he's already totally in the movie as Pyro. I mean, obviously we don't know how big his role is, but he was in the trailer. He is
exactly
in this movie.
Yeah, so. He's like already shot his scene. He's like, oh, maybe, you never know. It's like, yeah,
he's probably already done. He's
exactly already
done with his work and stuff. So hey, good for him. He did the thing he was supposed to do.
Exactly. I'm excited. I'm like I said, I'm so excited for any cameo we can get in this film. I think it's just going to be jam-packed, and I just can't wait. I hope it's balanced enough to where, you know, each character kind of gets not just like a little snip. They get like a fully, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but just, I hope they're not wasted cameos. Yeah. I just hope they're not wasted.
There's a few I hope they do waste, like just kill off really quick. Cause okay. I want the pleasure of seeing some of them killed.
Yeah. I mean,
but then other ones, I kind of want them to hang around for a little bit.
I wouldn't mind seeing Brad Pitt come back for another, what, 8 frames like he did in Deadpool 2.
Yes. And just like die again.
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah.
He was in that movie for literally less than half a second. So,
oh my God.
That's impressive.
It is. It truly is. But with the trailer closing out with this tease of a fight between the movie's co-leads, we suspect your eyes were drawn to the duo preparing to duke it out. In doing so, though, it takes your attention away from one of the teaser's biggest Easter eggs. Pause the trailer at the 2:01 mark, and you'll see a comic book lying a couple of feet away from Deadpool's right-hand side. Zooming in the video at this point, the issue in question is none other than a Secret Wars comic. Redditors have suggested it's Secret Wars number 5 from the 2015 comic issue run, not its 1989 namesake. And if that's true, its front cover might somehow be teasing the unexpected arrival of the Fantastic Four's most iconic villain in Doctor Doom. So technically, this is Doom's first appearance in the MCU. What did you guys think about that?
I think we're being led to believe one thing, but we're not looking at it the right way.
Okay.
That wouldn't shock me.
They do that. Like, you give us, everyone's excited for Secret Wars, so you put a Secret War comic book there. That's pretty obvious. But then Doom's on it, and it's like, oh my God, what if they did that because they knew that they were going to do Fantastic Four casting this week?
Ooh, wow.
That would have been cool. And we'll have to see if it actually is still in the movie. I mean, I'm sure everybody's going to be paying attention to that scene.
That's very
crazy
true.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Because they could change stuff in post. And also, shout out to that Easter egg, too. On top of the comic, there was a bottle.
Yes.
Of the same stuff that Stan Lee was drinking in The Incredible Hulk from Brazil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, deep cut Easter egg.
Oh, man.
But no, I mean, it seems like this movie is really going to be the first setup, like true setup to Secret Wars, and whatever Avengers 5 is going to be called, whether it's still Kang Dynasty or not, this is going to be like the turning point for the MCU.
Yeah.
Whether a lot of things are reset or not, I don't know, but there's a chance that this could do some really big stuff for the future of the MCU.
I'm so stoked. And yes, the Pingo Dolce bottle, soda bottle from The Incredible Hulk. I'm such a nerd. I love these like deep cuts, and I love when they reference The Incredible Hulk. It's such a like forgotten gem. And I just, it brings me so much happiness that this is the soda that murders Stan Lee's character in that movie. And I just thought, yes, I hope that that becomes like something more. Like, I don't know. I just want everything, I guess. I don't know what to say.
You know, of all the movies that I wish Stan Lee were still around for, like for a cameo or something, I think Deadpool 3 would have given him like a top-notch cameo.
Obviously,
we miss him. You know, he was 95 when he passed away. He did a hell of a lot. But Deadpool 3 would have been something really, really good, especially after the first two, where he was the DJ in the strip club, and then I think he was just on a wall or something in the second one.
He's had some crazy cameos, that's for sure.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
All right, so With Marvel firing Kang actor Jonathan Majors in late 2023 after he was found guilty of domestic abuse charges, there have been murmurings that the studio might replace the Multiverse Saga's overarching villain with Doom, who plays a huge role in Secret Wars literature. And considering that Marvel Phase 6 is set to end with Avengers Secret Wars, a live-action film adaptation of this comic series that'll also close out said Multiverse Saga, it's hard not to view this as a potentially huge tease of what Marvel Studios has got in the pipeline. Time will tell if this proves to be the case. Honestly, it could also just be a meta Deadpool joke where he's like, oh, look, Secret Wars is coming up, and throws the comic book behind him or something. So who knows? But I guess it could be.
He could totally
anything.
Rip it in half just for shits and giggles.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. So you never know. We'll see, I guess. It could really go either way. So, you know, I think that they're a little cocky just putting that in the trailer and being like, well, it could really be anything. So joke's on you guys.
And they know people are going to pay attention to it. Like,
oh, for sure. Yes.
That's why I hope it's just, it's them trolling us. So I kind of hope, like, in the movie, he's like, oh, no, put that in the frame so all the fans think they know what's going to happen.
I could totally see totally it. It's totally that. On brand. Yeah.
It's totally Deadpool.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I hope. Because, I mean, there just hasn't been enough trolling the fans for me yet. And I kind of hope that happens soon because I'm done with them. I want us all trolled.
Same.
Yeah.
So, Easter eggs, there was a lot. A lot happened in that 2.5 minutes. At the beginning, we see Deadpool looking at the TVA screens and seeing the Avengers and Age of Ultron. Then we see Deadpool in the same place in the opening scene of Age of Ultron happened, which looks like Deadpool may be fixing the MCU continuity as well as 20th Century Fox. So he's going to be the glue of everything that the internet complains about that fixes it.
Seems like it for sure.
Yeah, and the only other suggestion that I've thought up for that place, what if that is maybe, I'm expecting it to be Sokovia, but what if it's maybe the forest where Logan dies in Logan?
Ooh.
That's my only other thought, but it's not snowing in that scene, so.
So I saw something about that, but then I remember months and months ago when they said that
they're not touching Logan.
I don't
Logan.
Remember who, a producer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're going to have nothing to do with Logan.
Yeah, no. So, and Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman did that whole video where they're like, Logan died in Logan, we're not touching that.
Exactly, that's true.
Oh, yeah, they did that.
Yeah.
I forgot about
that. I mean, I've seen a lot of people speculating this could be how they bring back Quicksilver, and I think that would be insane to do. I don't know, right. But I mean, it would be quite the pull off if they were like, oh, by the way, Aaron Taylor Johnson is back as Quicksilver. Like, oh, that would be insane.
And he's Kraven.
And he's Kraven.
So much.
And Ryan Reynolds would totally say that too in the movie. He'd be like, oh, also Kraven or something. It would be insane.
Oh, okay, God.
Oh, my God, right.
I hope it's something weird like that. That no one questions because it's Ryan Reynolds.
Exactly. Me too.
Yeah. So, interestingly, the squad of TVA hunters were wearing different uniforms to the ones we've seen in Loki, the show Loki. Indeed, their brand new attire raises a big question. Has this group been sent here from the benevolent TVA post-Loki Season 2, which wants to rectify multiversal issues with a nicer approach? Or because time works differently in the TVA and they're actually from the past and more authoritarian version of the organization? Based on how they treat Wade, it seems to be the former.
I don't know. This one could really go either way, honestly. I feel like if they go too, like, if they're like, oh, this is from the past, it just creates too many questions for casual viewers. But if they're, I don't know, it really could go either way. What do you think, Richard?
I mean, honestly, it really could go either way. There could realistically be, like, two different factions of TVA agents really, like, going at each other over the whole Deadpool thing. Like maybe one side wants to use him for, like, a more calm down approach, but then the other one, like the one that comes to his door, wants to just take him in and do something a lot more worse with him. But I mean, I don't know. Like there's so many questions that I want answered, but I don't want answered until the movie comes out. So it's going to be fun to theorize over the next few months.
Oh, for sure. We're going to be going crazy. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So in one of the screens of the TVA, we see a tiny screen to the left that has Deadpool from a week or two ago accepting an Emmy.
Oh.
So they put it that, yeah, it was that recent.
I didn't even notice that.
It was like a month ago. It was the Ryan Reynolds video that he did accepting his Emmy for for Welcome to Wrexham in the Deadpool mask and the suit and everything. It's like in the bottom left-hand corner on one of those screens if you check out the trailer. And like, literally, they filmed that. That released a month ago, and it's in the trailer. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
It is. And you have to really look for it because it's small.
It's tiny, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. I have to go back and watch for that.
Yeah.
Yes. So, at the minute and 16 mark, we catch a very brief glimpse of what we think is Deadpool 3's likely main villain, Cassandra Nova. This superpowered individual is reportedly being played by The Crown's Emma Corrin, who is already confirmed to play a significant role in the film. It is unclear if this is Corrin's Nova, but there's one big giveaway that suggests that this is the case. In Marvel Comics, Nova is linked to legendary X-Men founder Professor X, Charles Xavier, which means Nova sports a bald head, just like Xavier. Put two and two together, and this fleeting shot all but confirms that this is our very first look at Corrin's Nova.
Looks that way for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who else it would be.
I can't think of anybody else it would be. And honestly, it seems like kind of the perfect villain for Deadpool to face. I mean, like he, in the first couple of movies, his villains, I think, were really like ground level, really, with Francis and Firefist and Cable and everything. This one gives him a chance to go against something really super crazy. And especially because this is the X-Men's first real time in the MCU, I think it's a perfect route to go with somebody so closely tied to Professor X and everything.
No, you know what? I'm so intrigued by their choice of villain here. If this is the main villain they're going after in this film, I think it's just such an interesting choice because it's like this character honestly seems like so niche to the comic lovers because she's never been portrayed on screen before. We've seen Charles Xavier in countless X-Men films already. They've never mentioned him having a sister. Will this confuse general audiences by introducing like, oh, this sister of Charles Xavier who, you know, like died in the womb and building her own body back to come back and destroy him from being a fetus. Like, it's such a complex concept that I'm like, I'm wondering how they're going to make it make sense for the film. You know what I'm saying?
It's dark as hell once you read that
comic. It's weird. It's a weird one for sure.
It's a creepy character when you really dive into it.
Yeah.
She looks creepy too in like what I've seen of her in the comic books. Like she looks weird too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We see a blink and you'll miss it scene where you can see the back of Wolverine sitting at a poker table wearing a smart white jacket. This is none other than Patch, an alter ego of Wolverine. In the Marvel Comics, Patch is an alias used by Wolverine while operating on the fictional island of Madripoor. Patch has been an alias used by Wolverine as far back as the 80s in Marvel Comics, though Patch has become more prominent in recent years following 2022's self-titled solo run. Disguised with a smart white jacket and an eye patch, Wolverine was able to hide among locals in Madripoor, who only ever knew him as Patch. Patch gambled, drank, investigated crimes in Madripoor with his disguise allowing him to keep a low profile and not get the X-Men involved in his activities.
I'm loving the Madripoor love that we've been seeing.
Yes.
Echo and in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's so interesting. They're developing this new place and let's see if we get to see it in Deadpool. I'm excited. I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, this would really be the first time we've like really, really explored it since probably Falcon and Winter Soldier. I mean, we had a little bit in Echo, like you were mentioning, but I mean, a chance to do it actually in a movie for the first time. That'll be really cool.
So cool.
Well, it has to be Madripoor because that's the only place he goes by Patch.
Exactly, yeah.
So I think they're visiting Madripoor. Yeah, they're visiting there and that's where they walk up on Daniel Radcliffe. So.
We'll see. Fingers crossed.
So. A little information on Madripoor. Wolverine only operates as Patch while in Madripoor, as I said. A fictional island depicted as being located off the coast of Southeast Asia in the Marvel Comics. Madripoor is a prominent location in X-Men storylines as all manner of mutants live and work in Madripoor. The island's nation's capital city is also named Madripoor and is split into two halves, Hightown and Lowtown. Hightown houses wealthy citizens while Lowtown is the criminal underbelly. This juxtaposition makes it the perfect place for Patch to carry out his vigilante justice and the perfect place to hide from the rest of the world. I said the name so many times.
You did. Madripoor, Madripoor, Madripoor.
It was confusing me.
It almost doesn't sound like a word anymore.
I know.
It doesn't feel like one.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I'm just glad that we're finally going back to Madripoor. Mm-hmm. Like I said, for really the first time since Falcon. I'm wondering if we get like maybe a Sharon Carter cameo or something. Because I feel like Deadpool could have some fun with Sharon Carter, just like giving her shit for everything, everything that went on at the end of that series. But I'm not expecting a Bucky or Sam or anything to show up, especially because Captain America Brave New World's coming out in a year. But I mean, that could set up a lot of big things. And we finally get like some X-Men stuff in the MCU in Madripoor now, because I mean, we had it before, but that was when the X-Men were first like really being brought into the MCU for the first time anyway. And it was before any of them were officially introduced. But now that this movie's like diving hard into the X-Men, it's gonna be really cool.
I wonder if we see Zemo at some point, because what is he doing?
Yeah, no, he'd be interesting to follow up on.
Yeah. Plus, I'd really like Deadpool to meet him, because that would just be a hoot and a half.
God, I bet Deadpool would have so much fun with Zemo.
Oh, man, for sure. I mean, who knows? I mean, if he's time traveling around, we could see anything, really. It opens up to any possibility, truthfully, in the MCU.
Yeah, I mean, he literally has the entire Infinity Saga and Multiverse Saga to date to, like, go back and screw with. So,
yes.
I bet there's probably going to be a good, like, 10, 12 movies and shows that he goes back to and checks out in this movie. I hope so. Fingers crossed. I bet it'd be awesome.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
So, Deadpool's pegging isn't new to me, friendo, but it is for Disney. Line is the first fourth wall break by Deadpool in the MCU. So,
such a beautiful thing.
Like I was saying, the parents that are gonna have to explain that to their kids is just, that's gonna be a whole other story.
Oh,
but
man.
I'm so glad they gave Deadpool like a moment to do that in the trailer. Because we've obviously seen fourth wall breaking in the MCU a couple of times before with a lot of She-Hulk, and they even did it in one of the WandaVision episodes with, you know, the kids and Wanda and Vision and everything. But now that Deadpool's doing it, I mean, he's like obviously more well known than anybody for doing that. I mean, even though She-Hulk did it first, I think that's gonna be such a great element to add to the MCU. I've had a theory on the fourth wall breaking that I actually kind of came up with when I was talking about this with my guys at the direct. What if the TVA goes after him for his ability to break the fourth wall? Like, what if it's actually part of the story? What if it's his, like, one of his big superpowers and something that he really is able to help the TVA with because he can do that? It'd be a good way to work it into the story organically, just because he does it anyway. And then another thing I was thinking is, what if that's what gets him on the TVA's radar in the first place? Because there's all those times in the first two movies where he mentions MCU stuff. Like, he calls Dopinder Brown Panther. He asks what the motherfucker was doing with a Winter Soldier arm with Cable when he first came in. There's so many moments where he mentions MCU stuff that I feel like that could maybe get him on the TVA's radar in the first place.
You're so right. I think he even mentions Thanos at one point in Deadpool 2.
Yeah, yeah. He tells Cable, zip it, Thanos.
Exactly. Yeah, I love all of the fourth wall breaking. It's one of my favorite things about Deadpool. And a lot of people are even speculating that we might even see a She-Hulk reference thrown in here, given the fact that she also breaks the fourth wall so often. And I would be all for that. I think that'd be insane.
Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking. The opening monologue is either going to be, I think I've mentioned in the group, either Deadpool coming after Star-Lord for taking the first F-bomb away from him in the MCU, or coming after She-Hulk for being the first one to break the fourth wall in the MCU, or the people from WandaVision. Either way, I think those would be perfect.
Oh, man, that'd be sick. I would die if any of those things happen. Oh, man. So many possibilities.
Okay, so after Matthew McFadyen, who plays Paradox, tries to enlist Deadpool as a bona fide Avenger-style superhero, a montage sees the gun-toting wisecracker get up to all sorts. At one brief moment, he looks to be sitting near a place of furniture with huge teeth, which is amusingly similar to Hulk's bed from Thor Ragnarok.
I saw that.
Yep, and that was one of the movies that was playing on the screens when he was watching all those Avengers movies. So maybe some Ragnarok love in here.
Oh, yes. Maybe a Hulk butt cameo? Let's see.
Oh, my God. Well, it's Deadpool. It's rated R. They could go more than just Hulk butt if they really
full
want
frontal
to.
Hulk. Oh, God. I would die. I
don't necessarily want to go there, but they could.
I don't know. I kind of do now.
Imagine their first frontal nudity of the MCU, and it's freaking Hulk. I would be so mad.
That would almost be poetic.
God, between the possible pegging references and just like the possibility of a big CGI Hulk penis in this movie, I don't know. I don't know what I'm more excited for, I guess.
Wow. This movie's going to be all sorts of ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure.
God, I'm so nervous that we're going to see a Hulk dick now.
Sorry, I put that in your head.
It's fine.
Anybody eating a hot dog in the movie theater is definitely going to stop at that point. So.
Oh
my God.
Oh, what if that's the popcorn bucket? Oh my God.
Oh God.
They did. I mean, I don't know what it is, but they did say something like with the Dol Dune popcorn bucket from recently.
Yes. Yeah.
I think Ryan Reynolds said something like, "Watch out for the Deadpool 3 one."
Oh man.
Yeah, he said, "Wait till you see the popcorn bucket," and I'm like, "Wait a minute, like, go
now
back.
They have to deliver.
Come back to us.
Now they have to deliver." DL. Oh man.
Oh, it's got to be something crazy.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be nuts.
Better be at least.
Right.
So, in the comics, Mr. Paradox is another name for Mobius within the TVA. This leads to speculation that Paradox is a version of Mobius that has yet to be seen in the MCU. Mm. At the end of season 2 of Loki, Mobius opts for a life away from the TVA after Loki takes his place at the end of time. This gives Paradox the perfect chance to serve as a liaison between the TVA and Deadpool and Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be a way to bring Mobius into it. And especially, like if Owen Wilson does end up being in this movie, like, having them meet and having that kind of interaction between them, that would make things really, really interesting. Especially because we haven't caught up with Mobius at all since the end of Loki Season 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what is Owen Wilson even doing? Like, you can be in it.
Yeah.
He's throwing shade, Megan. In the MCU, so.
I just want to see him in it. Like, I wasn't a fan of his until Loki. Now I'm like... It's kind of rude of you not to be in every project.
I know. He was so great. I mean, honestly, yeah, I'm envisioning Paradox to be kind of like the replacement for Mobius at the TVA. Like this other TVA agent that gets maybe a promotion or something, and that's who we see, and that's what his role is. Kind of the same as what Mobius was, but the new guy in the TVA. I don't know. We'll see.
I could see Paradox pissing off Deadpool, and Deadpool goes back or forth in time, brings our Mobius so Mobius can yell at him for doing a bad job.
Oh, yeah.
That would be funny. That'd be pretty solid.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I'm basically writing this entire movie.
Yeah, I feel like we're just going to need like a 4-hour Deadpool 3 movie. Like that's kind of what we're asking for here. Every single cameo, everything. We just need everything.
Yeah. Hey, if this movie's 2.5-3 hours, you are not going to get one complaint out of me because
me either.
I will be seated for every minute of it.
I will be seated happily with the popcorn bucket.
I will go there in my pajamas. I will go in slippers. I don't care. I'll be comfortable. Just give me a 5-hour one. I don't care.
Right.
I will not complain.
Right. I'm into it.
I'll pay extra.
I mean, I've been a proponent of making the MCU movies longer anyway, over like phase 4 and phase 5 because most of them really aren't that long. Please make Deadpool 3 a longer one.
Oh, it needs to be with all that we're expecting, all the fan expectation, all the cameos that could or couldn't be happening. Like, it needs to be at least 3 hours. Like, at least.
Do we want to take bets on what we think it actually will be?
I'm thinking, like, if me personally, I'm going to say in, like, the 220, 2.5 hour range.
I would say 229.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know why.
I think Infinity War was 228, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Okay.
Yeah. No Way Home was long.
Max.
No Way Home was really close to that, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 240. I don't know why. I think that they're going to give this one a little extra leash room because there's just so much that they have to fold in and so much they have to do, especially if they're going to be wrapping up kind of like the Fox X-Men verse through this.
Yeah.
I think they've got a lot of ground to cover, and with Wolverine, Deadpool, the TVA, Cassandra Nova, all these different things and all these different elements that are colliding in this one film, it's got to be a little bit longer than your average MCU title for sure.
Totally.
I agree.
And it's a third movie in the trilogy. So normally I think normally the third ones in the trilogies are the longest ones from what I've seen, from what I remember.
That's a good point. It's very true, Richard.
Well, not no, yeah, Ragnarok.
Yeah, Ragnarok. At least I know for sure. Guardians 3, No Way Home, Civil War for sure. Well, then Infinity War.
Iron Man 3, I think.
I think Iron Man 3 was longer, if I remember correctly. But
Ant-Man 3.
Yeah, Ant-Man 3. I remember was barely just because it was still short, but it was like barely the longest.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're onto something.
I think so too. I think we're cracking.
Fingers crossed. I hope we're right.
So our last Deadpool Easter egg that I saved the best for last. I was very happy for this one. There's a very brief shot of what appears to be Lady Deadpool in the film's trailer. At the 149 mark, we see someone believed to be Deadpool by almost everyone else wielding two Uzis. However, the gloves this individual is wearing is different from the ones worn by Deadpool. Unless he undergoes a costume change at some point in this threequel, it can't be Deadpool. And as comic readers know, y'all know, Lady Deadpool prefers to use Uzis over pistols, the latter being Deadpool's firearms of choice. Join the dots, and it's pretty clear Lady Deadpool will be featured in Deadpool 3. And if it's not Blake Lively, I'm leaving.
I'm protesting. I'm out. I'm done.
It's so funny, too. Like we're going to get into some Fantastic Four stuff later. Blake Lively was my choice for Sue Storm for a really long time. That's who I wanted personally.
Ooh, that would have been a great choice, actually. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought so, too. But
you're cooking.
But no, if she's not Lady Deadpool, I will be shocked. I mean, especially because we're already getting Dogpool in this movie. And like Dogpool is going to be MCU canon. So, I mean, if Lady Deadpool doesn't show up, I'll be shocked.
I'll be shocked because it's been talked about too much.
Yeah, for sure.
And they pay attention to the internet. They know. Yeah. They gave us John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic. They're aware.
Yeah, they know.
So if it's not her, which I think it is because after the trailer dropped from the Super Bowl, she posted a picture.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. She posted a picture of her bracelet wearing Deadpool and Wolverine. Yep. So I think she just told us.
I'm in this movie.
Yeah.
So he posted a picture on Instagram of himself saying, has anyone seen my wife? And it could have meant, have you seen her at the Super Bowl? Or it could have meant, did you see her in the trailer? Yes.
See, I posted this on the internet and I got laugh reacted at. So if she's in the if she's in the movie, I swear to God, I'm finding every one of you that all 24 of you that laughed at me. And I'm coming
Megan's
for all of
coming.
You.
Megan's coming. Yeah. She's bringing her Uzis, guys.
I swear to God. I was like, how did no one else see it this way? Because that's how I took it.
Right.
Yes, I think so. I think that was definitely a very specific nod to that. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be just so mad at Ryan Reynolds. He will get a tweet from me, that's for sure.
Yeah. And also, quick shout out I want to give to one more potential Deadpool variant. I want Walker Scobell as Kidpool. From Percy Jackson.
Yes.
I mean, as much as I'd love him to play like maybe a bigger Marvel character, after seeing him do the Deadpool 2 monologue with Ryan Reynolds there in person, I want him to be Kidpool so badly.
I loved him so much. I loved him so much in Percy Jackson. We know that him and Ryan Reynolds grew super close on the film they did for Netflix, which I can't remember the name
Adam
of
Project.
Right now.
The Adam Project.
Yes, thank you. And I just think it would be, it's just too perfect. It's too perfect. Come on.
Yeah, weren't they like photographed hanging out or something after the movie released? So it's like, why are you? Yeah, why are you there? Yeah.
And that one was directed by Sean Levy, if I'm not mistaken, which he's doing this one too.
Was it?
Ooh.
Oh, then probably. Yeah.
If I remember correctly, I think he did that movie. Yeah.
Heck. Man.
There's a lot riding on this one, everybody. There's a lot riding on this movie.
We have a lot of expectations. Like,
yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah. And I think this movie has a chance at meeting a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
I think so, for sure. Yeah. Ryan knows. Ryan knows what's up.
Yeah.
My question is, do we think we're getting a post or mid-credit scene?
Oh, there's gotta be. Definitely. There's gotta
be. You always get the ones that Deadpool makes that leads nowhere. It's clearly Ryan just like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
But do you think we're going to get one for the next project?
I think they could do both. Like, it's funny. I was just thinking, I don't know if they'd go like the 5 post-credit scenes the Guardians 2 had, but I could see them doing 2 or 3 and at least one of them being like something that sets up the future of the MCU. Because this is supposed to be an important one for the future of the MCU outside of it just being Deadpool's first MCU appearance.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, Deadpool 2 kind of gave us a little bit of both. Like, we did get to see some of just Ryan Reynolds goofing around, but then it ended up being, like, some of it ended up predicting kind of what ended up happening now, or what's happening now with the MCU. Like, he even said, oh, you know, when he's kind of fake recruiting Hugh Jackman as, you know, Wolverine, and then he's kind of clearing up the timeline from the Foxverse, yep. And now that's kind of what this whole movie is going to be about. So, you know, it ended up coming true. So who knows? We'll see.
Oh, shit. He really did tell us what he was going to do.
Yeah. In a few years, you're going to your old buddy Wade's going to come back. And when he does, say yes.
There you go. There we go.
Freaking Ryan Reynolds. You are Marvel Jesus, aren't you?
He really is.
Yeah, I think. Especially after the wild year we had in 2023, so many ups and downs. This really, like, I feel like that Marvel Messiah, Marvel Jesus comment was meaning a lot more than just a funny one-liner. I think it really was meaning that this will save the MCU.
See, I thought the same thing, and I was like, okay, he's going to save the MCU, but if he's Jesus, who died on the cross to save the world, is he going to die?
That's been in the back of my head.
Megan, we're not going there, Megan. We're just, no.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is, like, he almost died already at the end of Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
A few times.
Yeah.
He almost died a few times in that movie, but he just couldn't. And I think they were going to want to keep Ryan Reynolds around the MCU for a while.
Yes, I hope so. I think so, too. I have to agree. Yeah, definitely.
I hope
it'd be a waste if they didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I hope they kill Wolverine. I hope they kill him good.
Again, I don't know if I could take another Wolverine murder, but I would rather Wolverine than Ryan.
They're going to want to bring him back.
Yeah. I hate to say
they're
that.
They're going to want to bring him back for Secret Wars, so.
Kill him. I'm so over Wolverine. Like, I'm excited he's there with Deadpool, but if they said Wolverine's getting his own other movie, I'm not seeing it. I've done enough. I've done my time. I'm not doing it again.
Personally, I'm expecting it's this Secret Wars, and then Hugh Jackman will probably be done. That's where I'm
leaning toward. Yeah, there's no way this is his last.
Yeah, but no, I bet Secret Wars will be.
Yeah, because everyone's going to be in Secret Wars.
They're going to bring back everyone that said they're not. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. And they send him off with, like, a Tony Stark-esque, like, grand hero death, like, way even better than the one we saw in Logan. This would be insane. He's been around in these films for so long. Yeah. And it would just be such a perfect conclusion.
Seriously.
Like, after so many years. Like, wow. Now I need that, too.
If anyone could get it to happen, it's Ryan.
Yeah.
So. It's true.
Yeah, he's in for a big future with the MCU.
Oh, for sure. I hope so. Moving on to X-Men 97. This week has been bananas.
Had to do it. Mm-hmm.
This week has been bananas. We've gotten very, very spoiled. A little overwhelmed, but very spoiled.
For sure.
So, yeah.
I'm going to tell you about the X-Men trailer. For all you people who may not have watched X-Men, the animated series, you too.
I feel like I'm being called out here.
Don't worry, me too.
It's coming.
At least I started it the other day. I'm making my way through season one. I'm very excited to get through the rest of it.
Can confirm. Yes. He did start.
Yeah.
So just quickly before Megan jumps into this, Megan has challenged me to watch the X-Men animated series. So now I have to. We will be doing a breakdown / my thoughts / something with that coming up in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for that, guys. I'm going to be giving my initial thoughts. I've never seen it. I am a newbie to the animated series of X-Men. So let's see how that goes.
You're going to love it. I promise you're going to love it. So X-Men 97, the trailer. As this is a continuation of the 90s animated series, the trailer for X-Men 97 starts with a refresher on where we left off with our lovely mutants. A TV plays footage of the series finale, Graduation Day. That episode ended the series with Xavier near death after an attack from an energy disruptor. Sorry for the spoilers, Max and Richard.
All good.
Oh, God.
Lilandra, the Empress of the Shi'ar, and one of Xavier's main love interests, swoops in to save the day, but under the condition that Xavier has to travel back to the Shi'ar Empire with her in order to fully recover. In the final scene, the X-Men and Magneto putting aside his plans for world domination in order to see off his bestie, say goodbye to Charles. Fate lies in our hands now, says Jean Grey as the screen crackles and the Marvel logo appears. Welcome to X-Men 97.
Epic. So, iconic.
Yeah.
That's how the show ended. If this new show does not start with previously on X-Men, I will lose my shit. Like, not even kidding you.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. The same way I hope Daredevil Born Again starts with previously on Daredevil. Fingers crossed.
I swear to God, if they don't do it, I'm throwing something.
At the very least, like a Marvel Legends episode, totally. Like kind of summarizing what we missed, something totally. For both of those shows, because you're right, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Absolutely.
So, the trailer kicks off with an establishing shot of what looks to be New York, considering the front page of the Daily Bugle flutters through the frame. Cyclops is heard saying that mutants have to stay vigilant. More interesting are the handful of Easter eggs found in the Daily Bugle front page. One headline reads, "Is Spider-Man a mutant?" Which, I don't want to be a stickler, but like they forgot the hyphen.
Don't forget the hyphen between Spider and Man.
Someone needs to look at that.
Yeah.
And get
disgusting.
Fired.
Yeah. Remember the PlayStation 4 video game that in the opening scene he totally said that to Kingpin. Don't forget the hyphen between Spider and Man.
Oh, right. Which sounds like known Spider-Man hater and Bugle owner J. Jonah Jameson is up to his usual antics. To the right of that is a headline that reads Hellfire Gala with text by Eddie Brock, who is Venom for you folks who don't know that, and photos from Peter Parker. X-Men, the animated series, did a crossover with Spider-Man cartoon, so perhaps we'll see more of Spidey in X-Men 97. I'm expecting it.
Yeah, tears open. Outside of Deadpool, Spider-Man's my favorite comic character, so.
Well, they have the new Spider-Man series coming.
Yeah, the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
It's been so many years. Why not have Spider-Man pop in or have some kind of connection to that the Spider-Man animated series? It'd be super cool.
Yeah, plus there was the old one that I think ran like a little bit after the original X-Men series, so. Yeah totally. Mm.
Yeah, I agree. So the Hellfire Gala is most likely a nod to the Hickman age of X-Men comics that is currently coming to an end, which includes an annual event called the Hellfire Gala. In the context of X-Men 97, it could mean more Emma Frost and Sebastian Shaw. The main story in the newspaper reads, "Inside Scoop Mutant Fashion Show," with pictures of mutants dressed in some interesting styles. We see Banshee, Sean Cassidy in this case. But most intriguing is the appearance of Dust. Created by Grant Morrison in 2002, Dust signals that X-Men 97 will pull characters and plot lines from the 20th century comics. So that was really exciting.
Yeah. And it's great because I feel like there's so many more new characters that can be brought into this since this did end, 27 years ago now?
I think so, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, because it ended in 97 and now it's X-Men 97. So...
Yeah, they pulled from their files for this one.
Yeah, they did.
Deep cuts, sounds like.
Yeah. We get a quick shot of a casket being lowered into a ground after another shot of a shrine to Xavier. And while this implies the beloved professor's death, don't get too worked up over this. As mentioned earlier, Xavier is off to recover with Lilandra. The X-Men may say that he's dead to explain his absence to the world. This could also mean we are seeing a fake burial, or, God forbid, a burial of another mutant altogether, which makes sense because they killed off Morph real quick.
Yeah, and for anybody worried about Charles dying, we all saw the end of X-Men The Last Stand, the post-credits scene there. Yeah. So he's never dead until he's, like, fully dead.
Yeah, just ask Wanda.
Exactly.
Yeah, nobody in the comic book movie is ever dead. I mean,
except Uncle Ben.
Except Uncle Ben.
That's true. Yeah. It's very true.
Damn it.
In the next scene, a big robot arm is a clear indicator that the Sentinels, the giant mutant-killing robots, are back. The creation of scientist and mutant enemy Bolivar Trask is often used by the governments of the world to hunt down mutants and was a favorite enemy in the animated series. With mutant and human relations seemingly at a boiling point, it makes sense that the Sentinels will be making a return in X-Men 97. Why are the humans so mad at the mutants this time around? Well, while the majority of the trailer does a good job at obscuring what exact storylines from the comics will be updated, a shot of Magneto standing before the United Nations makes it pretty clear that the trial of Magneto will play a big part in X-Men 97. The 1985 issue was written by Chris Claremont and saw the X-Men's greatest villain stand trial for his crimes against humanity. In a shocking decision, the Master of Magnetism is acquitted for his crimes, marking a major point in Magneto's redemption arc. This decision will likely not be received well by most human public, hence the growing hate between Homo sapien and Homo superior. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really
cool.
Sounds
about right.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely sounds like that could happen.
Yeah. So we get a handful of shots of location that is most likely the Savage Land, a secret area in Antarctica where prehistoric creatures thrive, based on the tropical vibes and colorful animals. Season 2 of X-Men the Animated Series included a lengthy plot about Xavier and Magneto getting lost in this Savage Land and working together. Eventually, the X-Men show up to help defeat Mr. Sinister, who has been secretly behind the events in the Savage Land. In the trailer, we see large statues of Xavier and Magneto in front of a large pyramid structure, so maybe the residents of the Savage Land haven't forgotten their saviors.
Interesting.
So, it is.
Yeah.
After a shot of the team suited up in the Blackbird, Cyclops gives out some orders and Wolverine cannot help but be irritated. Jeez, bub. Keep buzzing in my ear. Wolverine snaps at him. That's the best I can do. How good is it to see these two bickering again? The begrudging co-worker dynamic Scott Logan will never get old.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I mean, like, even in the first few episodes that I'm watching from the animated series, like, their relationship is just...
They toxic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a healthy relationship.
They toxic.
Also on display in a montage of action shots is the new animation. It's 3D with comic adjacent style in the same manner as What If. While I would have preferred a full return to 2D, the cell shading and bright color palette does a really good job at keeping the vibe of the original series alive.
Yeah. No, I think I love the fact that they did update it a little bit, but I'm so glad that it's also keeping the theme of the original too.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. I agree.
I think it looks really well. I expected 2D, but I like this too.
Yeah.
The X-Men won't just be fighting bad guys while wearing spandex, as we see Gambit, Logan, Rogue, Jubilee, and who I think is Sunspot entering a party. It's always good to see some more stories but that don't involve endless crime fighting in an X-Men story, so I'm all here for it. But hey, if that is Sunspot, that means we will get some new mutant action in X-Men 97. Do I even begin to dream if we will actually see magic? Though, with Magneto taking a larger part, it would make sense for the New Mutants to also be a part of the new series based on their history with Magneto in the comics. So, there's that. Moving on to a very pregnant Jean Grey. Scott and Jean have gotten busy since Xavier left and are now expecting a child. Considering that we have already gone through the Dark Phoenix saga and Jean has come out on the other side, this is unexplored territory. The animated series never dug into Jean's clone, Madeline Pryor, and the origins of Cable, but this will all likely act as inspiration for Jean's pregnancy in X-Men 97. Or if it's not even Jean. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Of course, the big question is, the big question is, who is the baby? My money is on Nathan Summers, the baby who later turns out to be Cable. As Cable played us, I know. As Cable played a small role in the animated series. Speaking of Cable, we don't see him in the trailer, but Theo James is on the project in an undisclosed role that showrunner Bo DeMeo teased as a fan favorite in an interview with Entertainment Weekly. So I think James is going to be Cable.
Yeah, that'd be really Banshee. Solid, especially because we're probably not getting him in Deadpool 3. It'd be good to see him back here.
Yeah, yes, I agree.
For sure.
And there it is. We get a full shot of the team in all their glory. The lineup in this shot includes Morph, Storm, Gambit, Cyclops, Rogue, Wolverine, Bishop, and Beast. We also get to hear Cyclops utter the famous phrase, "To me, my X-Men," signaling that with Xavier out of the picture, he becomes the new leader of the squad. Unless... Seems like Charles did actually have a plan set aside that included who his chosen successor would be in the event that he would not lead the X-Men himself. We see a shot of Magneto in Xavier's office holding the last will and testament of Charles Xavier. Turns out he left everything to Magneto. And now that Xavier Institute and the X-Men are under the leadership of Magneto, this is something pulled directly from the comics. During his time as leader, he takes on the name Michael Xavier and eventually becomes a mentor to the New Mutants. The X-Men, decked out in some truly incredible 90s-style basketball attire, do not seem happy about this. And that is the trailer.
I mean, obviously, I haven't seen the original series, so a lot of this went like right over my head. I wasn't, you know, fully familiar with it. Mm-hmm. But I will say that, you know, seeing the Fox X-Men movies and seeing that last part where Magneto ends up like inheriting all of Charles's properties and stuff in the school, that seems mighty juicy to me.
Yeah, I mean, considering from what I've seen so far, there's a part where Charles makes Magneto relive his entire childhood, which is like literally the Holocaust. I can't imagine how that's gonna work out well, at least to start with Magneto leading the X-Men now. And can I say too, the hair on Magneto is pretty solid.
Oh my.
Magnificent.
The new two is pretty solid.
I like it.
It's good.
It's fitting.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, this is gonna be a crazy series.
It is. I'm really excited. I've seen so many just downer comments about it. And it's like, just be grateful. I'm excited. I've been waiting.
Just be grateful.
Yeah. Just shut up. Just let me live.
And here's what I can't wait for. I've already gotten to two of the biggest like X-Men memes already in the first like 7 or 8 episodes. The one where Wolverine's lying on the bed looking at Scott and Jean.
Yeah.
And then the one where Scott and Jean are laying down and he's just off the side like, yeah, I'm out of here. I really hope that 97 gives us more of that. I hope the memes that are gonna come out of this series, I think are gonna be some top notch stuff.
I think so too.
Oh, for sure.
I've already seen some just from the trailer, and they did not disappoint.
We've been waiting 30 years for this.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
We deserve all the memes.
We didn't have the internet back then, so.
It's true. This is new territory for all of us.
Yeah.
It's true. New frontiers, my friends. I'm excited to get caught up and start this. It sounds really exciting.
Yeah, I'm about 7-8 episodes in. You're going to have fun.
Can't wait. Can't wait, guys. Stay tuned for my reviews, I guess. We'll see how it goes. And kicking off tea time with Max and Megan, plus Richard.
Plus Richard.
Fantastic Four casting. Pedro Pascal will officially be Reed Richards. You've seen him in The Last of Us. Vanessa Kirby will be Sue Storm. You've seen her in Mission Impossible 7 and in the early seasons of The Crown. Joseph Quinn will be Johnny Storm. You've seen him as Eddie in Stranger Things. Eben Moss Bachrach will be Ben Grimm. He was previously in the Marvel Universe as Microchip in The Punisher. And he is most famously known for his role in The Bear. I am not mad at this casting. What did you guys think about this reveal that we finally got after so many months or years, honestly, of speculation? How did you feel?
I think they nailed Ben, Vanessa, Joseph Quinn is brilliant casting, and be prepared for me to fall in love with him all over again and be really annoying about it. Pedro?
Yes.
That was an odd choice. I think he does well in everything he does. So I think he's going to do well, but I really wanted someone more underrated to play Reed.
A little lesser known, maybe.
Yeah. What did you think, Richard?
I am not against it at all, but I am mostly like super for everybody. Vanessa Kirby, I think, is going to be awesome as Sue. I loved her in both of the last two Mission Impossible movies. I think she's going to do fantastic. Can't wait to hear her with an American accent, because that's something I've never heard from her before. So that's going to be interesting.
Ooh. True.
The Pedro Pascal thing is, I didn't know how I felt about it at first when the rumor started, you know, coming out that he was going to be Reed Richards. I was like, Pedro Pascal's Reed Richards is a strange choice. But then, I like you said, I did forget that he nails everything he's in. I think he makes Wonder Woman 1984 a little bit watchable for his role as Natural Lord. He's a really fun part in that. Obviously, he's fantastic in The Mandalorian. He kills it in The Last of Us. I mean, this dude is just racking up major sci-fi and comic book movie franchises like they're Infinity Stones at this point. And then I, as the big Jewish guy in the community, I'm so happy they got a Jewish guy to play Ben Grimm. I haven't seen Evan Moss Bacharach in anything other than Punisher, although he was great in that. The Bear is going to, that's going to take a long time for me because that hits on a personal level for me because I used to own a restaurant and I know that life.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So that's going to be probably a few years until I can watch that one, but I know he's fantastic. I haven't done Stranger Things yet. I know nothing about Joseph Quinn.
Dude.
But, I know.
Well, he played a knight, one of the knights in Game of Thrones.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't think I knew that. That's interesting.
Yeah, but I am very, very happy with this casting. I know at least for sure 3 out of 4 are going to be fantastic, and I know it's going to be the same for Joseph Quinn. So I'm pumped.
I swear they pick the most likable people.
They really do.
In the world. Like,
they did. And you know, it's so funny because I feel like towards the end, this became like the worst kept secret in Hollywood, because I feel like people knew this was happening for like a couple months now, and we were just waiting for them to officially confirm it. I mean, Pedro Pascal is just, everyone knows, if you watch our podcast, if I've talked about it, I'm sure I have, but everyone knows he's just, I love Pedro Pascal so much. Fantastic actor, total dilf. We love Pedro. We stand Pedro. As Reed Richards, I'm interested to see his take on this character, really. I think he has got a lot of aspects that I've seen in his previous roles that I feel will lend very well to Reed Richards. So I'm really excited to see that. Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, loved her in The Crown. She was like one of my favorite characters in the early seasons. I won't lie, when people started making the rumors up about Margot Robbie being Sue Storm back when Barbie was on its press tours, I was totally into it. I was really looking forward to Margot Robbie, and I was thinking she was like going to do this. I was so excited. But you know what? I will say I'm very excited for Vanessa Kirby. I think she's going to kill it. Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm. I've seen a lot of discourse online about this. Too. I've seen people saying he doesn't look the part.
People are saying the same thing. Leave him alone.
Yeah. Did Tom Holland look the part of Spider-Man? Did Robert Downey Jr. look the part of Iron Man? There's so many questions that we could have had. People have been asking questions about this kind of stuff for the MCU for literally its entire existence. And at this point, we just need to trust that Sarah Finn knows what she's doing, because 99.99% of the time, she's nailed it.
Yeah, agreed.
Absolutely. Their casting is always top-notch in the MCU, for sure. They know what they're doing. And I feel like when you watch his performance as Eddie Munson in Stranger Things, like, you see that spunk, you see that spirit that Johnny Storm needs as part of his character. I think he's going to kill it. Honestly, you know, when you look at David Cornsweet, who went from being really like a very thin guy to now being this bulked out guy to play Superman, anything's possible. I can totally see Joseph Quinn just getting jacked for this role if he needs to. And I'm really excited. Evan Moss Bacharach, his voice is just so iconic in The Bear and in everything I've seen him in. And I think that lending that to Ben Grimm is going to be absolutely bananas. I can't wait. So I think this is just top notch. And I'm really excited for it, especially with that 1960s vibe that they're kind of hinting at with the promotional artwork they've been releasing. It could be a period piece, and I'm living for it. I can't wait. I love it. I love 60s vibes.
Honestly, this will be really, really successful if people do not compare the new actors to previous actors that have played the role, because every single one has brought something different to the role. Mm-hmm. So let them cook. Mm-hmm. Let them do their thing.
Let them cook. Yeah.
You guys talk so much trash when Chris Evans became Captain America because he was the Human Torch. Now look at us.
Yeah.
Half of y'all are mad that now he's gone.
Yep.
So let him cook.
Yep.
And
I'm excited.
And also shout out, hopefully someday we get Franklin Richards in the MCU. That's mostly for selfish reasons, because my middle name is Franklin. So, you know,
Richard Franklin. Just for that.
So, but I think he's going to be an awesome character anyway. And I feel like Vanessa Kirby and Pedro Pascal is going to be a strange couple, but I'm very excited to see what they do with it. I'm just so glad this finally happened, because I was just ready to forget about it until, you know, part of me almost wanted them to go, like, the entire marketing tour, like, go up to the movie's release date and not tell us who was playing the Fantastic Four. Like, just to screw with everybody.
I thought it was going to be D23. I didn't think.
I thought Comic-Con, yeah.
I thought a major event like that, for sure.
Freaking Valentine's Day?
Right.
Don't for my birthday, it. Everyone. Yeah. That was the best present.
It was
Thank you. Max's birthday.
That's why they
That's awesome. Obviously.
I got the first Infinity.
And they're trying to bury Madame Web. So other than that.
I got the first Infinity War trailer on my birthday, which was super cool. But
that's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, very cool. Fun. Very cool.
I haven't gotten shit. So.
Sorry.
And next year for my birthday, if it stays in the same release date slot, I'll be getting Captain America Brave New World, so I'm stoked for that too.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
So, Marvel confirms plans for the next Rated R show. Speaking with Marvel.com, Marvel Zombies, which I forgot was happening, director Brian Andrews discussed his newest Disney Plus project, specifically with it being confirmed to be R-rated ahead of its release. He says, well, it's going to be pretty awesome. I mean, it's TVMA, it's hardcore, people die, and they die rough, so there's still some laughs to be found here and there. It's not completely all horrible. I don't...
Wow.
That really didn't... I'm sorry, that didn't really sound... That was a great way to get my confidence in it.
Yeah. And also, shout out, I think that's from my article on it, from the direct. I'm like 90% sure, because I feel like I've recognized that from somewhere. But and I also saw it on the John Campia show recently too, because I knew I wrote that quote up a while ago and we just published it recently. But I'm curious to see what they do, because I do think the zombie episode of What If was probably one of the best episodes of What If that we've gotten so far. And I'm curious to see what they can do, kind of diving more into that, especially because like Shang-Chi is going to be one of the main characters in it. Miss Marvel's going to be a big character in it. Mm. It's going to be a really interesting team. I don't know what to expect from it, but I'm cautiously optimistic that it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Disney kind of flexing that more mature content, especially for an animated series.
Yeah.
Like that's insane. That's a big step. I'm proud of you guys. Personal growth. Personal
growth. Hey, R-rated MCU stuff is going to be good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, Richard.
Of course. No, I swear that just published a couple of days ago or something. So that was kind of cool.
Definitely got me hyped for the series, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so following its theatrical release in November 2023, The Marvels has finally made its way into the Disney Plus library, and with it, the Captain Marvel sequel found its place on the streamer's official MCU timeline order. The Marvels was placed into the MCU Complete Timeline section on Disney Plus at the furthest end of the timeline after Secret Invasion, officially making the movie the most recent in the superhero universe. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I thought we all decided we were going to pretend Secret Invasion didn't happen.
I know I did. I know I did.
We're still mad. Like, there's not many things we're mad about, but that's like the one thing we're still mad about.
Even as optimistically as I try to look at everything in the MCU, maybe to a fault, Secret Invasion was rough, man.
Same. That's exactly what I said in the episode where we covered the finale. Like, I give the MCU a lot of slack. A lot of people complain and nitpick about a lot of different things. Secret Invasion just couldn't be salvaged for me. I mean,
the more I thought about it after the finale, I was like, the more I realized this just was not good. I'm sorry.
It had so much potential. That's what bothers me.
Exactly.
Especially if you read the comics. And then that's what they gave you. And you're like, that's the series they killed Maria in?
Yeah,
that's what she deserves.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Don't even remind me.
Oh, I just
R.I.P. Maria Hill. R.I.P.
She deserves so much better. So, the Thunderbolts release date has changed to May 2nd, 2025, with Fantastic Four taking its date July 25th, 2025. So, that summer, we are all living large.
Gonna be lit.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like in a 3-month span, we get. Thunderbolts, Superman Legacy, Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something big coming in in June of that month too, of that year too. But it's funny. Mm-hmm. I honestly wouldn't be shocked if either Superman Legacy or Fantastic Four move their date at some point.
I would be, because that little whole turf war that's happening, that's you don't need to do anything for PR, nothing. The fans are doing it for you.
Well, yeah, no, that's, no, for sure. Man. I mean, that's DC and Marvel genius. Finally like having a chance to actually go at each other.
Yeah, I swear that's why they switched Thunderbolts with Fantastic Four. Like Kevin Feige just brought out the big guns and they're playing chicken.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh man, that's true. They're flexing.
There's also the whole thing that Sentry is going to be in Thunderbolts. So I figured they didn't want to have a Superman-esque character in theaters true. So close to when Superman was coming out. That I think I that's not my theory. I heard it from somewhere, but I kind of co-sign on it.
But like it makes sense.
Yeah. It does. Also shout out Lewis Pullman from Top Gun Maverick playing Sentry now. Can't wait to see what he does.
I know.
Yeah, I know. From my favorite movie of all time.
I know. I loved him in Lessons in Chemistry for sure. He was awesome.
If you think about it, it was smart they moved it. Steven was going to be Sentry first. Right. Yeah. And then you have Superman happening. Imagine that hate that he would have gotten when they were talking about each other, comparing.
For sure.
I would have quit too. I would have been out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was smart to move him. And especially because Superman and Fantastic Four are both such huge properties. I mean, July is going to be huge.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
2025 is going to be off the chain.
Yes. Yes. We thought 2024 was going to be that because at one point there was like four MCU movies, but that's moved to next year. Mm-hmm. So,
which like kind of works out. So it does. Thank you to the strikes somehow.
Somehow, yeah. Thank you, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
All right. So that takes us to our last cup of tea for this episode. Mark Ruffalo ruffled some feathers, mainly Megan, as he apparently misspoke this week and seemingly confirmed that he would be in Captain America Brave New World during a Q&A about his career at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival on Sunday. The recent Oscar nominee seemed to confirm that he will be reprising his role as the Hulk in Marvel's Captain America Brave New World. Asked by moderator Ann Thompson if he would next appear in the 2025 feature, Ruffalo nodded his head and said, yeah. And she asked, are you allowed to talk about that? And he said, yeah, it's going to be great. But turns out he apparently misspoke, according to multiple sources, and didn't understand the way she had phrased that question.
So. Mark Ruffalo shouldn't be allowed to like talk about anything, I think, for Marvel. I love the guy, like, but...
Here's the thing. He's going to be in the movie. I'm willing to put anything down. This little dill hole is going to be in the movie. So after I saw this news and I posted it on every social media, and you have to have different hashtags on different social medias, that takes a long time. So 30 minutes later, I get sent to me by Richard. Oh, he misspoke. I'm like, oh, you misspoke.
Yeah.
Let me go back and delete it all. I don't even want to see you in the movie. You don't deserve to be in it.
Megan was so mad.
Our person writing the article, when we covered it at the Direct, she had to redo like almost the entire article. I felt so bad for her. And I've had to do that a couple of times myself. But,
solidarity. Man. I feel you, girl.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's great.
Mark Ruffalo, the gift that keeps on giving, I guess. I don't know.
Him and Tom Holland should like never be allowed at Marvel press tours, probably ever.
But Tom
Holland has gotten a lot better. Yes. I give him credit. Yes,
Mark hasn't. Mark's just... He stayed the same. And everyone made a big deal about Tom Holland with like Doctor Strange putting his hand over his mouth. But then there's this guy who's just burning down bridges everywhere. I gotta stop. I'm gonna be mad for the rest of the night.
Right now. Yeah.
No, it's a good time to stop. But yeah, Mark Ruffalo, Megan was not pleased with you, so watch out. She's getting her Uzis and she's coming.
I'm coming.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
And that's a wrap on Vigilante Vibes. Until next time, you can follow me everywhere at His Name Is Max.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Megan the Gangsta. In case you didn't hear, we are also a proud member of the Blind Knowledge Podcast Network.
Join our non-toxic Facebook group of over 50,000 members, Mediaverse Comics Unwrapped. Follow our public Facebook page, Mediaverse Plus. Follow us on all of our socials at MediaverseCU.
I'm Richard Nebbins, and thank you guys again so much for having me on. You can follow me at Richard Nebbins on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, everything. I'm writing as much as I possibly can for the Direct. I've got an article up on the Fantastic Forecasting when we first covered it. That's kind of my most recent. And yeah, if you're in the Facebook group, I'm posting there all the time. Come check us out if you want to, a really fun, non-toxic, and really enjoyable place to be. You guys have created something really good, and I'm happy I'm there. Yeah. And it's going to be a fun year. Can't wait for Deadpool 3, Fantastic Four, everything. We got a good year coming up.
We do. And please feel free to come back anytime.
Anytime. Yes, absolutely.
Anytime. We're so happy you joined us.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, too.
Our new episodes will be airing Tuesdays. If you like what you've heard, please hit that subscribe button and drop us a 5-star review wherever you are listening to us. We so appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in and goodbye for now.
May the Force always be with you, Dumbledore.
Always.
I said I was going to piss off some nerds today.
You did. Man, that was fun.